Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with Job's second response to Eliphaz, as we pick up in Job chapter 16, verse 12. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Job said, "I was at ease, but he hath broken me in two. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces, and he has set me up as his target. And all of the archers are shooting at me. I'm their target. His archers encircle me, and they have shot through my kidneys." They actually just cleave them asunder, and they do not spare. Poured out my gall upon the ground. I'm wiped out. "He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. I have sewed sackcloth upon my sin. He's defiled my strength in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and my eyelids is the shadow of death." On my eyelids. I mean, I'm just about gone, fellas. You could just see it. It's almost over. And so he cries out for death. "O earth, not for any injustice in my hands. Also, my prayer is pure." I really don't know why this is happening. "O earth, cover not thou my blood." Now, in the olden days, they believed that if innocent blood was shed on the ground, that blood on the ground would actually cry out for vengeance against whoever had shed the innocent blood. He is saying, when my blood, is shed on the ground, don't cover it. Let it cry. And let my cry have no end until there is some kind of a justification. Also now, and now here he comes from this place of just, giving up hopelessness. And then he comes to these statements that just blow you over. "And now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high." The Revised Version is a little better here. "He that vouches for me is on high." And so Job comes out with this marvelous statement. "My witness, the one who witnesses for me, is in heaven. He who is vouching for me is on high. Christ the mediator, my witness in heaven. The one who vouches for me, Jesus Christ, is on high." Amazing. That out of the depths of all of this misery, he comes out with this kind of, in the next lesson, when we get into chapter 19, same kind of thing. Job is at the very bottom of the pit, and then he cries out this hope, this cry that just is so totally victorious before he plunges down into the pit again. But he seems to come up, and sees the light, and then boom, back down. And that, I guess, is sort of typical of a person who's going through a lot of suffering. You have those moments when there's encouragement and strength, and then reality of what's going on. "My friends scorn me, but my eyes will pour out their tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleads for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way from whence I shall not return." It's almost over. But oh, if I could only plead with God like I plead with men. If I could only plead my case before God like you plead your case before men. Job says, "My breath is corrupt." That is a characteristic of a person who is dying. The breath becomes quite corrupt. "My days are extinct." I'm about over. "The grave is ready for me." Graves, plural. But that's because they would bury people in these caves that had all of these little niches side by side. You'd be put in a niche. And so the graves are ready for me. Are there not mockers with me? These three friends of mine. And doth not my eye continue in their provocations? They continue to make their accusations and provoke. Lay down now, put me in surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hands with me? He is now turning to what was in those days legal terms. Who will put me in a surety with thee? Who will go ahead and post bail for me, that we might have this case come before the judge? Who is he that will strike hands, make an agreement with me? Now, even to the present day, this practice of striking hands is common in the Arab culture. One of the interesting things that we like to do when we're in Jerusalem on Friday morning is go to the sheep gate. And there the Bedouins bring on Friday morning their sheep to the sheep market to sell. And it's quite a sight. It's a fascinating sight. You'll see them driving the sheep up the street. And then you'll see others drive up in Mercedes and open up the back door, and all these sheep, you know, they push them out of the back seat of the Mercedes. And you'll see them as they're starting to dicker over the price of the sheep. You'll see them, and as they get to establishing the price, they get louder and louder. They start yelling at each other. They start waving their hands. They start shaking their heads. And you think, uh-oh, call the police. You know, we're going to have a riot right here. You know, these guys are going to be at it in just any minute. And they get to shouting at the top of their voices, just really shouting at each other. And then suddenly they'll go bang, and they sort of a high five, strike hands. And the guy will reach in his pocket, pull out the money and pay and take the sheep and leave. I mean, it's just a part of the whole process of their dickering over the price of the sheep. And it's fascinating to watch. But the striking of the hands means we've got the deal. And so Job is saying, who will make the deal with me? Who will strike hands with me? For thou hast hid their heart from understanding. These fellows that have come, God, somehow you've hidden their heart from understanding. Therefore, you will not exalt them. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. He hath made me also a byword of the people. The name Job became synonymous with a man who was suffering for his wickedness. As a man, he's going through the things of Job, you know. Interesting, though, that the name Job is also a byword for us, but it's the byword for a man of extreme patience. He has the patience of Job. So the name is still a byword, but for a far different reason than it was in Job's day. In his day, his name became the byword of a man suffering the judgment and the consequences of God for some evil that he had done. He's also made me a byword of the people, where before times I was, you know, looked up to. I was a tabret. I was a instrument of pleasure and pleasantness. My eye also is dim by reason of sorrow. I've wept so much, my eyes are blurred. And all of my members, that is the members of my body, are as a shadow. I'm a shadow of my former self. Upright men shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. But as for you all, do you return and come now? For I cannot find one wise man among you. Job is still maintaining that in the end, things are going to work out. That in the end, the righteous holds on to his way, and he who has clean hands will become stronger and stronger. But for you fellas, I cannot find one wise man among you. My days are past. My purposes are broken off. It's over. purpose for my existence has ceased, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is short because of darkness. If I wait, the grave will be my house. I have made my bed in darkness. He's talking now just of the total despair. Darkness is soon to overtake me. I'm soon to enter into that shadow of darkness, into that land from which a person does not return. I have said to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. He's talking about his body now decaying in the grave, the body beginning to corrupt and the worms beginning to do their job. And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of Sheol, of the grave, when our rest together is in the dust. So my hope has failed. I'll soon be going into the grave, and it's over. Well, this excited Bildad. And he now answers Job in chapter 18. Bildad is a man who is sort of short of speech. He is able to put things in a concise way. And it troubles him that Job takes so much time in giving his answers. And so in responding to Job, he said, how long will it be until you make an end of words? Mark. And after that, then we will speak. In other words, you know, just close it off, shut it down. Give us a chance to talk. Why are we accounted as beast and reputed to be vile in your sight? Job said that they have gaped upon me. This is a phrase that is used of ravenous beast. And so he said, why are you, you know, accusing us of being as beast, or how is it that we're counted in your eyes as beast and we're reputed as vile in your sight? He tears himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? Shall the rock be moved out of his place? Shall God change nature to accommodate you? Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. And now again, attributing wickedness unto Job. Man, your light's been put out. That's what happens, Job, to the wicked. And he goes on and gives several references here to the light and to the darkness, the light of the wicked being put out. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, that is, in his tent. His candle shall be put out with him. And the steps of his strength shall be straightened or narrowed, and his own counsel shall cast him down. You're condemning yourself with your own words, with your own mouth. And then he speaks of the wicked being caught in the traps. And he uses about 8 different types of traps here in the original Hebrew language. Traps by nets, traps by pits, traps by lassos or cords. And that the wicked ultimately end up in traps, and sometimes traps that they have set for others. And so he said, he is cast into the net by his own feet. He walks upon a snare. The gin or a trap shall take him by the heel, and a robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. And terror shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger bitten, and destruction shall be at his side. So he speaks first of all about his light being put out, and then about him being ensnared in a trap. And then he goes on to speak of the calamity that shall befall the wicked, hungry, He shall be destroyed. He shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tent and shall bring to him the king of terrors, that is, death. It shall dwell in his tent because it is none of his. Brimstone, such as destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, shall be scattered upon his house. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. I mean, the guy is really in bad shape who is wicked. The roots dried up and the branches cut off. I mean, you get it from every direction. His remembrance shall perish from the earth. People will forget all about him. And he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew or grandson among his people. That is, he will not have posterity nor any remaining in his dwellings. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before him were affrighted. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked and the place of him that knoweth not God. So the intimation again, Job, you have these, he's sort of describing some of the calamities that Job is experiencing. Those evils that seemingly have befallen Job, those that are his lot. And he is saying, Job, these are the things that happen to the wicked, to the man who doesn't really know God. And the intimation, strong intimation, is that Job is a wicked man, that Job really doesn't know God. That's why you've been caught in the snare. That's why your light has gone out. That's why you are ready to perish. That's why your children were all destroyed. Heavy, heavy charges against Job. So Job answered and said, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?" By the words of Bildad, Job is being torn to shreds. "These 10 times have you reproached me, and you're not ashamed that you've made yourselves like strangers to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, my error remaineth with myself. If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God is the one who has overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net." Bildad had said the wicked get trapped in their own nets. They set the trap and they fall in it themselves. Job says, "It's God who has overthrown me. I have been caught in his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I'm not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment." Job still maintains, in spite of all of the accusations of his friends and insinuations, innuendos, he declares that it is not fair what is happening. I cry out of the wrong that is being done, but no one answers me. I'm not heard. There is no judgment. God has fenced my ways. He's put the boundaries I cannot pass. He has set darkness in my path. He has stripped me of my glory. That is the glory that Job had before all of this experience began. He was one of the richest, greatest men in the East. And has taken the crown of glory from his head. He has destroyed me on every side. And I am gone, and my hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me. He has counted me unto him as one of his enemies. And his troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tent. So he speaks of what God has done. These things that have transpired to me have come to me from God. And I really don't know why. I cry for judgment, but there doesn't seem to be any answer.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson. As Pastor Chuck continues his insightful study of Job, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Job. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing comment.
God bless you, and may the Lord guide you in His plan for your life. And may you learn, as David, to just commit your ways unto the Lord, knowing that the Lord will take care of things as you just submit your life, its facets, unto Him. And may God just continue to use you as His instrument in bringing His love to a needy world.
Hi, this is Don Stewart, co-host of the radio program Pastor's Perspective with Pastor Chuck Smith. You know, lately we've been getting a lot of calls on the program from people who are going through some really difficult storms right now. People have lost their jobs. They can't find work. Marriages are breaking up. And if that weren't enough, people are calling in asking for prayer because they are just diagnosed with cancer. And I'm amazed when Pastor Chuck speaks right up and he's able to encourage and strengthen a person and persuade them to look to Jesus and not at their problem. That's why I'd like to tell you about a book by Pastor Chuck called When the Storm Hits. This book was written for people who are struggling and going through a difficult time, and it's a book you'll want to pass on to a loved one who might be going through a storm of their own. And when the storm hits, get anchored on Jesus the Rock and don't let go.
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, When the Storm Hits, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online to read a sneak preview of the book by visiting thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.